Welcome to A Dopamine Kick. Yes, another ADHD podcast.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week and we can hyper-focus together on all things ADHD.
This is our journey to diagnosis, the challenges, frustrations and humour that come when living with ADHD as adults.
Let the interrupting begin!
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 111 of A Dopamine Kick. Today we are going to be carrying on with me bullying Sparky into filling out his ADHD assessment forms, and it's all things hyperactivity today.
Yes, hyperactivity and impulsivity. Before we get into all of that though, we need an update, Shal. How did your run go? Because we totally ignored it last week.
Oh, so I did it. I did slightly more than I needed to. I think it was like 30 and a quarter in the end and I needed to do 29. Mm-hmm. Mostly because on my last run, because I ended up doing the runs in blocks.
Did you just say 30 and a quarter?
Yeah, so I did an extra 1.25 miles. Because when I was doing the last
just
run...
Put that little detail in.
Yeah, when I was doing the last run, because I was doing them in big blocks, like 4 and 5 miles at a time, as I was doing the last run, I couldn't remember how many miles I needed to run, because obviously I hadn't fucking planned it in advance and I didn't have any. So I finished it on the Wednesday. Yeah. And I knew that that was the last day that I was going to be able to run because the Thursday was the finish. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to keep running until the, I can't remember how much I did on the last one. I think it was 4 miles on the last one. So I'm just going to keep going until I hit this number and then that should be enough. And it was slightly over.
That's amazing. I'm so proud. I'm glad you did
so, yeah,
it.
Did
well,
it.
I knew you were going to do it anyway. Like, there was just no doubt about the fact that you were going to do
it. I definitely didn't. There were times in the month that I thought, this is going to be embarrassing. I wish I hadn't mentioned it on the podcast because I'm not going to be able to manage it.
Yeah, but Shell, I know you. Like, you can't give up. And you would never have given this up because of obviously it's for charity. You told people on the podcast, so I knew that you just, it didn't matter what happened, you were going to do it. But you did it a day early and you had time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a day early, but it was the last possible day for me.
Yeah, but still, could have been that you were still running 11 o'clock on the evening, you know, trying to get the miles in.
Yeah, I suppose.
So that's
a
win.
I suppose. No, I am pleased. I am proud of myself. Yeah, haven't been to the gym or done any form of exercise since.
Well, that's the ADHD tax.
We'll just gloss over that. Yeah, yeah.
Still doing a lot better than me. So who hasn't been to the gym still, even though I've paid 4 years of a membership?
Oh, no, are you still paying for that?
I didn't want to cancel it because I thought if I cancel it, I definitely won't go.
Oh, my life.
I was hoping that continuing to pay it would force me to go. It still has not happened.
No.
And then
you need to cancel because there's something is not working here. Like, you've got to change
something. No, I'm going to do it.
No, you need to change something. Like, if you've not gone for 4 years and it's not working for you, like, you need to find a different gym or like find.
I can't. That's the closest one to me. Like,
yeah,
literally,
maybe,
I could.
Maybe
walk
the closest
to that.
One is not the right thing for you. Like, I've lived really close to gyms before and not gone. So the gym that I go to now is further away than one I've joined before and never went to because it was around the corner. you've got to find like that. So for me, like I keep saying, the thing is that it's on the way home from work, so I can pack my bag, but I'm not actually going to the gym. And then I have to drive past, so I might as well go in. Like, you've got to find your, like, oh, whoops-a-daisy, I'm here anyway.
That's the thing. I don't have that because I don't go to work outside the house. So literally the only thing that is going to make me want to go to the gym is if it's close, surely.
Or, like, could you build it into something else that you like? Like, trying to think.
Like what?
Well, I don't know. Like, do you like coffee?
I wouldn't necessarily leave the house to go get coffee, if that makes sense.
Could you find a gym? What makes you leave the house? What's enough of a motivator for you to leave the house?
Not much.
That's not true. That's not
much.
True.
I'm not even joking. Like, I've become a little bit of a hermit recently, so I'm not really sure what gets me out of the house, really. I think it's meeting friends, but, like, you know, obviously everyone's busy these days.
What about, is your gym just a gym or does it have, like, spa-y stuff?
No, it is just a gym, and I think that might be one of the reasons that I don't go.
Yeah, because that's another thing that I, like, trick myself is I'll say, like, right, I'm supposed to go on this time, so I'm going to turn up. But if I'm really not into it once I get down there, then I will just sit in the jacuzzi for half an hour, be relaxing and lovely, and then I'll come home.
Do you know what it is? I don't like the gym. I don't like it. Well, I don't like the layout. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like... There's just something about that gym that I don't
like. Then change it. Doesn't matter if it's the closest one to you. If you're not going, if there's a roadblock to you going, it's not right.
Okay, Shell. Therapy 101. It's good advice. It's good advice.
We've immediately got distracted as well. We're supposed to be talking about hyperactivity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Okay, right. I will update you all. I'm going to put it out there on the podcast. I'm going to use this as an accountability. I am going to go. I'm definitely going to go. And if I don't, the end of the next payment date, which is at the end of the month, then I will promise I will cancel it.
You need to cancel it and find a different one. Find one that you click with.
I'm going
to
stay on this train. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I need to do hard things.
Because, you know, 4 years isn't enough evidence. Let's let's prove a bit more that it's not right for you.
Right, let's get on to hyperactivity. Okay. So, the first one, hyperactivity and impulsivity symptoms. Do you fidget, tap your hands and feet, or squirm in your seat?
100%. As someone who has to watch you on camera every week. You're not even sitting down now. You're bobbing up and down, standing while we're recording.
That's true.
And like swaying side to side.
I keep wanting to do this as well. Like tap the mic. But I have to keep reminding myself.
That's probably a bit irritating for all of our listeners.
Yeah, so I have to stop myself from doing it. But yeah, I can't help myself. I need to be playing with something all the time. And I have to constantly be reminding myself, I've got a microphone right here, because you can hear everything. And if you're regular listeners to the podcast, you will hear Shell as well in the background going... She's trying to sneakily do it, but you can hear it.
I know. I'm so bad for it. Sometimes when I listen back, I hear it as well. I can hear the keyboard and I'm like, oh, not as subtle as I thought. I need to get a silent keyboard.
And you know what that is as well? That's not only you being hyperactive, like trying to do something with your hands, but you're also zoning out and looking at something.
It's not always zoning out. Sometimes it's just like I really struggle to just do one thing at a time. So to just sit here and chat, that's not natural for me.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I do know what you mean. Do you have any examples?
And especially as by the time we've recorded, we've usually been chatting for about half an hour to an hour anyway.
Yeah. That's so true. Do you have any more examples of fidgeting, tapping your hands? I mean, this question is quite self-explanatory. Do you fidget, tap? It's got to be something that you do all the time. So I'm going to click very often.
It's all those like unconscious habits as well, like if I'm not talking but I'm like sat somewhere, I don't know, if I'm watching a lecture or something, then I'll play with the roof of my mouth with my tongue. Like I'll just tap the roof of my mouth or move my tongue around, and I push my big toe and I make circles with my big toe in my shoes, so all my shoes, the big toe bit is like really depressed. And it's not because I put like extra weights, because I'm just constantly like making these little pressure circles.
Do you know what I've realised? I can't sit still in a seat at all. Like even if I force myself to need to sit still, I'll be up, down, my legs will be up. It's crazy. Like I feel like I cannot sit or stand still ever. Even in bed, like I'm just rolling over, like pillow between my legs, out, in, rolling back.
Like I'm a lot more subtle than that, but I don't know if that's growing up as a girl, like in the wouldn't have been tolerated for me to be fidgety when I was a kid, because like I can visibly to someone looking at me be still, but I'm never still. Like I'm always tapping something or wriggling something or playing with something, but I'll often like have my hand in my pocket and I'll be playing with a seam, or I'll be playing with the roof of my mouth, or like pressing my feet in my shoe. So to look at me, I can look like I am being very still.
Yeah, I think that's, and also masking as well. We've talked about that before, like how you said when you dressed your daughter as what would be considered more boys' clothing, like people would treat her differently as well.
Yeah, they still do. Yeah, because you can't really, unless I've got her hair in like a bobble, you can't really tell. I suppose you can tell a bit more now because she's had a fringe cut. But before, people really couldn't tell if she was a girl or a boy unless she was in like very gender obvious clothing.
So I think like when you're treated differently and you know, you said before you'd have like, shouldn't act, behave that way, shouldn't act like this because she's a girl, then obviously that's going to cause you to mask. So you're probably going to think, oh, I shouldn't be jumping around, running and screaming. I know, because it asks you to give childhood examples on the forms as well. So I know that I'd be constantly running around, doing roly-polies, being unable to sit still. And even as a boy, I got told off for that. Like, oh, you just need to sit still. So feel like as a woman or as a little girl, you'd probably be told that you shouldn't act that way even more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I remember being told things like that. Like I got kicked out of brownies. I know, it's so crazy, isn't it? So for people not in the UK, brownies is, how would you describe brownies? It's like a girls group where you do like very wholesome activities.
Is it like a scouts type thing?
Yeah, it's like scouts for girls. So it's very wholesome stuff. It's like, you know, nature and I think originally there was a religious component to it, but I don't think there is anymore. I don't know. Anyway, I got kicked out, but not for like, I don't know, setting fire to the building or anything dramatic like that. Just simply because I couldn't sit still. So you end every session, you sit in this like circle and the leader like chats to you or whatever, and I couldn't do that. I could not sit still. I'd be like running around, and when they were trying to do quiet activities, I'd be like bouncing around and like couldn't keep my voice at an appropriate level. And in the end, I think I was about 8 or 9, they said to my parents, like, don't bring her back.
Oh my God. You know what? You've just listed every single symptom of hyperactivity. Not being able to sit still, not being able to keep quiet, being restless, not sitting in situation, not seating when you're expected to be seated. All of these things, yeah. So how you were missed, how we were both missed, how we were both missed.
Well,
so
little
funny.
Girls don't get ADHD, so that's how I was missed. You're a mystery. I don't know how anyone missed you.
The second one, do you leave your seat in situations when remaining seated is expected? I feel like these questions are, I don't know, like I was looking at it, I think, is it supposed to be a trick question? Like, because
I found that one really difficult. So when I first started filling out the assessments, I would say no to this. But
yeah, because we've learned that you don't just get off.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's really impolite. Like if you're in a meeting, like I remember my psychiatrist said to me, like, if you're in a meeting, would you just get up and walk around? No, I wouldn't. I might want to.
Yeah.
It might feel like my body is about to explode, but I wouldn't do it because it's rude. And I know it's rude. And I know that people would judge me for being rude if I did it. So I wouldn't do that. But I remember I started thinking about what about when that societal pressure is not there. So when you're on your own, so like say for example you're waiting for a train, would you just sit and wait for a train? Never. Mm-hmm. I would never. I'd sit and then I'd be up. I'd have to look at the time to make sure that the time was like passing for my train. Even if I sat right underneath the clock, I'd still like get up to look at the clock, and then maybe I'd go and check out the waiting room, but I wouldn't stay there. I'd come back out to the platform, then I'd, I don't know, go and have a look at the snacks, even if I wasn't going to get any snacks. And I would be constantly like almost like nervously moving about when left to my own devices.
With this question as well, when it says do you leave your seat in situations when remaining seated is expected, it's quite difficult because I'm not really in a lot of situations where, I mean, I work from home where I'm supposed to be remaining seated. But all I can say is at school, I'd hate assembly time, or, you know, when you just had to sit and you had to listen to anyone talking or singing or anything like that. I just want to get up and leave. And I would constantly be getting up on my feet and sitting down and twirling around on the spot.
Like
things like that. So
sitting on your knees and sitting on your ankles and,
But also with the modern world, with modern technology as well, if you're in a meeting on Zoom, you can easily not go on camera. And I think sometimes when people don't want to go on camera, it's because they are not just sitting there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they are able to kind of like relax a little bit because they're not being seen. And I think it's the pressure in the situation where you feel that you don't want to be in that environment, and you need to get out of that environment now because you're overwhelmed or it's too much or you don't understand what's going on and you just feel like you just need to kind of bolt from the situation. So even if you're feeling like you want to leave and you're staying because it's impolite to get up and leave, that's, I would say that would be, I would answer yes to this situation, but I guess it depends how often it is. For me, I can't say it's very often because I'm not in those situations. But if I was in those situations, then yes, it would be very often. Does that make sense?
So I would say that that is very often then, because it's how you evaluate it is how often you would do it when put in that situation.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Okay. I know what I'll do. I'll put often for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put often for that one. And then obviously we've given childhood examples as well, such as the school and things like that. So yeah. Question number three. Do you feel restless if you have to remain still? Again, I feel like this is
it's a very similar question, isn't it?
Yeah, both of the first two questions merge together. Like, it's kind of self-explanatory. If you fidget and tap your hands and squirm in your seat and you leave situations where you're expected to remain seated, then of course you feel restless when you remain still. Yeah, so that's for me.
That's the only time that I actively want to do exercise is when I'm like in a meeting or something and it's going on and I start like really feeling like I would love to go out for a run. I mean, I don't necessarily do that once the meeting's over, but yeah. I start feeling really like I've not moved. I can't be doing this. I need to go out and blow off some steam.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. The feeling of getting up and blowing off some steam. And also I feel like most of the time it's not expected, but most of the time when you're taking a phone call, you imagine someone sitting still and being on the phone, but I can't sit still and be on the phone. I'm like pacing the floor when I'm talking to anyone. Yeah. So I guess that is an example of being restless when you're supposed to remain still because no one wants to hear you huffing and puffing as you're going along. I will usually make phone calls when I'm walking the dog.
Yeah, that's
because
a good
it lets me do two things at the same time. And I always have to say to people, oh, really sorry, I'm out of breath. But I do feel if I have to remain seated when I'm doing something like that, it takes its toll on me. I need to get up and do something.
So when I had my review with my, you know, because I made my psychiatrist go through it all again, because obviously didn't believe that I actually had ADHD. Anyway, so normally we do our like sessions on Teams. So he's like in front of a camera and I'm in front of the camera and we can see each other. So I'm just sort of sitting here very visibly still, but like hands going 10 to the dozen, playing with stuff underneath the table. And he had signal issue and he couldn't get his laptop to work. So we ended up doing the last bit on the phone. And I hadn't even realised that I was no longer sitting upright looking at the computer. But when he asked me about remaining still, I was actually lying on my chair. Like, it's just like an ordinary like office chair, but I'd turned round on it. So my feet were like over the side and they were like, I was climbing up the wall with just my feet, like my bum was still on the set, but I was like moving my feet up the wall and my head was dangling off. So like I was upside down and I had my phone up and that's how I was talking to him. And he was like asking about remaining still. And I didn't want to say to him how I was sitting, but I was like, yeah, I'm very different when the camera's not on. Like, sprawled over this chair.
That's me, you know, the fireplace, you know, so you know when you get a fireplace and you've got like a wall that kind of comes out,
yeah,
it's got like a fire built into it. Well, yeah. You know, the wallpaper on my fireplace, it's not been done that long, but because I lie on the sofa with my feet up on the wall, I've started to like rip the paper wall
because that's what it's, yeah,
can't just sit still, can't just sit normally.
I don't know if this is an ADHD thing, but I think it is because the only people I know that like walk their feet up the wall as adults are ones that I know have ADHD.
As adults.
Like, it's just not, doesn't seem to be a thing that like, because kids do it a lot, don't they? Like kids.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually, maybe I'm only surrounded by kids who have ADHD. I don't know. But anyway, I definitely feel like it's a behaviour that I've seen in children a lot. But yeah. You never really see adults doing it. But I do it all the time.
And me. I do it everywhere. I will lie with my legs over the back of the sofa, watching the TV, like, with my head upside down.
Yeah, upside down. It's something about being upside down, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So, definitely very often for this one, then. Yeah.
I think that's a good example, to be fair, to put as an adult. I think that's a good thing for you to write down, that, like, you quite often won't sit still. You'll be, like, lay upside down with your feet walking up the wall. Like, that is not average adult behaviour.
It's so funny because even as an adult, when I'd go on holiday with like family or anyone like that, and we'd have to sit at a dining table, like in a restaurant or something, I'd find it really difficult to sit there with my back straight, eating appropriately. And my nan would always go, Sparky, sit up straight. I can't do it. Like, I don't know what's going on. I just can't do it. And I'd be like swinging on my knees. Rocking the chair and forth. So yeah, I was one of those irritating, annoying children, and I still do that as an adult as well. So the next one is it hard for you to take part in leisure activities quietly? Now, I really didn't think that I had this one until me and my friend went to the beach. And honestly, we were videoing our dogs, and I was running across the beach, I was screaming, and Adam turned around to me and said, you do realise, like, you just look like a bunch of kids. Just like all these people on the beach were just staring at these two adults, like, running around screaming. And then I realised, when I get really into stuff, I get really loud, and then now I have to kind of like stop myself and say, am I being too loud? Because I just get this, I get really cringy and embarrassing. Like,
oh God,
even if I'm
do?
In, like, this is stupid, but you know, like when you go to a shop and you get really happy that you found something that you like.
All trying to relax.
Me and Adam in the shop, like, oh my God, there's this, oh my God. I was like, shh, 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 this is not normal behaviour. There are people around, we're getting really excited over a coffee machine, just calm down.
I get like that when I'm talking and like telling a story. If it's something that I'm really engaged in, sometimes my voice will get like overly loud. It's awkward.
Do you feel you have this one as well? Like, do you find it hard to take in?
So initially, this is one of the ones I said no to. And I think so much of this, like, so interesting, isn't it? A girl versus a boy. So I said no to this because I interpreted it as, you know, can you sit and read a book? Can you sit and, I don't know, do a painting? And I can do both of those things if I'm hyper-focused on them. Then I can sit for hours.
Oh, is that what that question means?
No, it doesn't. I just read it wrong. So that's why initially I kept saying no and scoring slightly lower on the hyperactive. But then when my psychiatrist was talking to me about it, he was like saying, okay, well, imagine a situation where Jamie's still in bed and you are up earlier than he is for work and you're trying to move around very quietly and get dressed in the morning. Can you slip out without him noticing? I was like, oh yeah, that'll be a hard no. After I've like banged the cupboards and sworn under my breath and then
fallen over everything.
Fallen over everything.
Knocked the whole shelf
over. Everything off the dress. Yeah. Stubbed my toe. In the end, I'm like, fuck it, turn the light on, because it's just easier. It's just quicker and quieter.
There was this reel that I saw on Instagram, and it's such an ADHD thing. This guy is going out, he's going downstairs in the middle of the night, and he's getting a cup to fill with some water, and he drops the cup on the floor, and like what proceeds is like this, like slow motion, but then crashing, like cup just bouncing. It just keeps bouncing and bouncing and bouncing, getting louder and louder. The dish is shaking, and it just reminds me of what would happen if you had ADHD and you were trying to be quiet in the night, and then you just see the mum rising up in the bed like the Undertaker. Like, what's going on downstairs? That was me.
100% sympathise with that.
That's hilarious. Oh, so it's not then. You see, because if that was, even if that question was, can you take part in quiet leisure activities such as reading a book and a spa day. I still can't do those things. I can't read a book. Like, I cannot read a book from start to finish because it's just too quiet. It's just too... Yeah. I can't do it. I can't relax on a spa day either.
I can't read, like, non-fiction. I've never been able to read non-fiction. I can listen to it fine when I'm driving, like when I'm doing something else, but I can't read it. But if it's a good fiction book, I do really like reading. And like, if I'm like absorbed in it and like the world is, it's hard to explain, but you know when you get really into to reading a book and like it's almost like you're not really there.
Yeah.
Like you're sort of transported to
like maladaptive daydreaming.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because I'm saying this or like it's really normal, but I don't actually know how other people read, whether or not this is normal. But when I'm reading a fiction book, when I'm really into it, time loses all concept for me. Like I will not eat, not drink, not go to the toilet.
Yeah, that's not normal.
I'll just be in, so like in the book, like I won't even realize that I'm turning the pages. The pages are just turning and I'm like immersed in the story. And I couldn't tell you how many pages I've turned, but something will break me. And it's usually like the end of a chapter or something. And the chapter ends and it's almost like I'll come to, like I've been asleep. And that's when I'll like, often just go straight into the next chapter, but that's when I would consider doing something like going for a wee or getting a drink or but it is very much like a completely immersive experience for me when I'm reading. Like I'm not there.
I mean, I don't know because I don't read books.
And I would say the same when I paint as well. I don't get a lot of time to paint these days, but like I can't paint and do something else because then I would be like frustrated and bored. And but when I'm just me by myself and I'm painting something, time is gone. Like it's like there's nothing else in the world, just me and like the canvas and the paints, and my mind is like,
wow.
Like I tried before.
That's proper mindfulness.
Yeah, maybe. But it's not, I don't know, it's not healthy mindfulness because I couldn't like do it for 20 minutes and then go and do something else. Like it proper like sucks me in and
consumes.
Yeah, and I just want to be doing it for hours until I'm finished.
Well, you know what they say, the greatest artist probably had ADHD.
Yeah, I could see that. I can see it.
How else would you be able to focus for that long?
Yeah, to the exclusion of all others.
Are you good at jigsaws as well?
No, jigsaws. Can't do jigsaws.
So it literally is then what you enjoy, isn't it? So it must be
I can't force myself to read something. Like if I read a book and I'm not into it, even if it's one that I want to read or people have told me is good or whatever, if I can't get into it, I can't read it. I can't force myself to read lines long term. I can do it like short term, like if I need to read like a textbook, but not, I couldn't sit there for half an hour reading something that I wasn't completely absorbed by.
That's interesting. Very interesting. Weird. I wonder if like, no, I'm not going to, I'm going to, if I talk about that, I'll go off onto a whole different topic and we haven't got time.
Well, I mean, we are already at our typical episode length and we're only about half the way through. So I feel like maybe this has become two episodes.
Yeah.
Maybe we should cut this
out. I think that's a really good idea, actually, because we're just in danger of just going on and on and on. And you know we like to keep our episodes short. So I think...
This is something we clearly feel passionate about. We just can't stop talking about how hyperactive and impulsive we are.
Okay. All right, then. Let's jump into what did you ADHD this week? And then next week, we'll continue the second part of the hyperactive symptoms. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
So, it's your turn, right?
No, definitely your turn.
Oh, fuck, I thought it was your turn. I haven't got anything planned. Okay, no, I know what I've done. So a couple of years ago, started a blog, which I haven't touched in years.
Standard,
yeah. I was really focused on it. It was like my pride and joy and the thing I lived and breathed for. And then I haven't touched it in about 2 years.
I just want to say, I thought it was an amazing blog and I think it's something that people would want to hear. So I know you don't like it now or you don't want to use it now, but...
Well, it just became not fun. So like I started off doing it and I was just writing stuff about like my life and stuff that I enjoyed writing. But then, you know, nobody wants to read that. You have to write like, I don't know, 10 best... whatever, and I just don't find that sort of stuff interesting. So it rapidly became a chore that I didn't enjoy. So the like some of the articles are just utter shit because I just didn't care about what I was writing about. So anyway, irrelevant. It came up for, so I, when I first took it out, it must have been 3 years ago, because when I first took it out, I bought 3 years worth of like hosting and the domain or whatever for 3 years. It was like part of a package deal. And then it came up for renewal, and the renewal was like 300 quid for one wow. year. I think it cost me about 70 quid for 3 years when I first signed up. Insane. Really expensive. I was like, there is no way I can justify paying that for a blog that like I don't look at, I don't update, I've not written for it for years. Nobody reads it. Like, it's completely dead in the water. I didn't want to get rid of it because I was like, always a bit sentimental. Like, there's stuff on there about, you know, when my daughter was born, and that was quite a traumatic time. So I thought, well, I'll just find somewhere that's offering cheaper hosting. Like, there must be, it's probably one of those things where they lure you in with a good deal and then like absolutely rinse you. So yeah. I'm sure I'll be able to move. Obviously didn't do it. Kept getting the notifications. It's going to expire. It's going to expire. And what happens is, it like, when you run out, you've then got 30 days and then it's gone.
Yeah.
And so I was like, right, fuck, I'm in the 30 days. I really need to get onto this. Kept leaving it. And finally sat down to be like, right, no, I really need to fucking sort this out. It had been 2 weeks past the last deadline. So I'd completely lost it. Like, it wasn't, I now can't transfer it onto a new provider because everything's all down, frozen. Like, anyone else can buy the site. And I basically have lost it forever.
Oh, no,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, so I got very upset. And Jamie managed to find it on something called the Wayback Machine, which is like a log of like all previous websites and stuff. So he found it on that. So he's like,
oh, wow,
I've not lost your content. Like, you know, worst case scenario, you can redo it and copy and paste. And eventually I like spoke to the customer services and I managed to reinstate it. I did not pay £300 for 1 year. I couldn't bring myself to do that. I paid £65. Oh, so bad.
In desperation to save it,
because I decided as soon as it went offline, as soon as I knew it was offline and it was gone forever, that it actually was very important to me and I couldn't bear to lose it. So I paid £65 for fucking 3 months. But that means that I can now, in the next 3 months, find a new provider that's much cheaper and move it onto that. I need to actually fucking remember to do that now. But
yeah, that'll be the next thing.
That'll run out and I have to freaking do it all over again. No, I won't, because the thought of losing that much money will, like, force me into doing it. I'm already gutted
It didn't last time.
Well, no, it didn't last time, but I didn't realise what the repercussions were. I thought, like, even if I let it lapse completely, I thought I'd still be able to rescue it and go with someone else, but apparently you can't. So now I know that. Now it's become a really like firm costing deadline. So I'm just going to chalk this up to more ADHD tax that I just seem to constantly be paying because I cannot get my life together. And the worst thing is that I kept telling myself that I didn't fucking have time to do it, and I'd do it and then the next day because I didn't have time to do it. And then when I realised the website had gone down, I spent hours trying to get it back. Like, way longer than it would have taken me if I'd just fucking done it in the first place. And I'll learn nothing from this. I will do it again in a similar scenario, I'm sure.
You will, just like with the Mac. Like, you just spend time doing things that don't need to be done because you should just do it.
You know what?
Just do it.
I really did the exact same thing with the Mac all over again. I forgot the password. I completely forgot it. I was trying loads of different options. I couldn't remember. Stop. I couldn't think what the hint was. I put the hint stupidly again as emotional support bulldog. So I once again knew that the password was something to do with Portia, but couldn't remember what, or couldn't remember how I'd spelt her name because there's a couple of different ways it gets spelt. And luckily, just before I had to go down the route of fucking restarting it, I remembered...
Calling Apple again,
tail between my legs. I remembered I WhatsApped it to Jamie. So I had to go scrolling back through all of our conversations and I found it.
That's hilarious. It's hilarious that you did the exact same thing, emotional support.
Exactly
dog.
The same thing. What is wrong with me? And do you know what? Do you know what the worst thing is? I've not changed that hint. So I'm setting myself up to do it again. Oh, God. I'm like a fucking bee buzzing into a window pane, aren't I? Just never learning.
Just hitting it.
Just constantly hitting it. Doing the same thing, expecting different results.
Yeah, I think that's the definition of either stupidity or insanity. I can't remember which one now, but clearly you're
probably
one of them.
Probably both. Probably both.
That's hilarious. You really need to change that emotional support hint, though.
I do.
Because I think you're just going to get stuck in the same scenario again. But at least you've WhatsApped it to Jamie, but there'll probably be something wrong with WhatsApp or something, and yeah, you'll lose all the messages.
Change your phone or something like that, yeah.
Not back up the chat.
That's
hilarious. Ridiculous. That's hilarious. Have you ever done that, though? You've gone through all this hassle to try and change the password, and you finally get to the screen where they tell you to put in a new password, and you put in a password, and it says... You've used this one before. you can't choose the same password as the previous password.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck?
Absolutely. I've seen that message before.
But do you know what? I have to say
many
this.
Many times.
I think it's something to do with Apple ID because honestly, I can never remember my Apple ID. I don't know why. Every time I'm changing it every time. Like, I just don't know it. And I think as well, what makes it worse is they're always asking for different things now. I literally do not have another, what is it, two-factor authenticator left in my body.
So I use Dashlane for remembering my passwords, and I find it really, really good. It doesn't help me for things like logging into the Mac, because it's like you'd have to be logged in to open it up. I guess I could save it on my phone, but I'm not that organised. But yeah, in terms of like normal passwords, like email and passwords for everything, I put everything in Dashlane because I just want to remember it.
Dashlane.
Yeah, it's good. You have to pay for it, but it's not for the amount of time, effort and stress it saves me. It's worth it. I think it's about 30 quid a year.
You saying that, I use LastPass for client work.
Okay.
I really should probably put personal stuff in there as well, shouldn't I? But that's completely free, yeah. So...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's completely free, LastPass, and you can have it applied to two devices.
Okay, I was going to say, does it work on multiple devices? Because yeah. Dashlane works on everything. So I've got it on my phone, I've got it on my Mac. Anywhere that I sign in, I can use it from. So I can use it at work, and it is good.
Actually, thinking about it, I think it only lets you do one at a time unless you pay. It does the same thing, though, if you pay for it. But if you don't pay, like you get the free version, I think you can only use it either on your computer or your phone or whatever, but there's a way that you can get it working on all things. But I haven't got round to doing it yet. I will. Anyway, guys, I think that's enough of us rambling this week. We will see you next week for another episode of All Things ADHD.
Bye.
Alright, that's everything this week, guys, but if you want to carry on with the conversation, join us over on our social media platforms. We're on all the major channels and our handle is @adopaminekick.
We'd also be super grateful if you could leave us a review on the podcast wherever you're listening, as it helps us to grow our audience and help more people. Okay, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.